Hey, hey, hey. Do you love champagne? If you do, you gotta join me at the Wine Feed Durham on December 28th at 7 p.m. My friend and colleague, Deb Lewis, will be sharing her wonderful knowledge and beautiful champagnes from the Vintage 59 portfolio, and Chef Kevin Durkin will be providing a few tasty treats to pair with these champagnes. That's Tuesday, December 28th at 7 p.m. Google the Wine Feed Durham, look at their calendar and events page, and sign up. I'll see you there. Happy champagne times.
This is the North Carolina Food and Beverage Podcast. Thank you for listening, subscribing, and hitting subscribe on your friend's phone without them knowing. Coming to you from the kitchen studios in downtown Raleigh. This episode is sponsored in part by Blue Shark Vodka. All the taste without the bite. Blue Shark Vodka, coming out of Wilmington, North Carolina. And by Spot On, tech that helps your business grow. And Joe Van Gogh Coffee, serving the community from seed to cup. And now, those who can't do or teach just have to talk about it. It's Max Trujillo and...
Hello, and thank you for listening to a very special Matthew Weisless episode. That's right. This is an impromptu kind of episode that I didn't expect. We were kind of talking about doing this show with our guest that I'll introduce in a quick moment. But I'm just here with our guest, without Matt, in the studio on a Monday afternoon as it is pouring rain. It is the week before Thanksgiving. And so via email, I was chatting with a gentleman named Peter Zakuski, and he is from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And is also, we're trying to figure out what the actual new term is. Maybe this is something we put out to everybody, is what should we call people that were once called pitmasters? Because that's kind of an outdated term. One that manages the smoker and cooks a barbecue and does all of that stuff. We don't really have a perfect name. Chef isn't necessarily accurate, so we got to come up with that great term. But whatever that term is what I will introduce him as, because he runs Pitt County Barbecue out of Canada, and he is here to explore all the beautiful bounty and knowledge that we take for granted, us North Carolinians out here. So, Peter, welcome to Raleigh, North Carolina.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. First and foremost, you reached out to me because you've listened to the podcast, I guess. Is that somewhat accurate? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll use the word obsessive, I guess. Passionate about North Carolina. So then in looking for more information on Southern food and Southern culture, obviously, especially for the state of North Carolina, you guys pop up and have been using the podcast as a resource now for a few years.
See, Matt, our SEO does work. At least maybe Canadian SEO, so that's good. So cool. So you've listened to a few of the shows. You're familiar with what we do here on the show.
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you for listening, for one. And thank you for telling all your friends in Canada so that they'll start listening, too. But let's talk about your reasoning for coming down here. From your email, you said this is your second official trip, like in the culinary sense, to North Carolina. Is that right?
Second official culinary trip, third trip down here. Came down here the first time on my 30th birthday en route down to South Carolina and then Kentucky. And then 2 years ago, came down here for what I call a research trip for a week. And then now this is a third trip down for 2 weeks.
Okay. And do you have a brick and mortar in Canada? Or is it, you're like, you do pop-ups and such?
Right now it's pop-ups and catering. With okay. the global climate, we haven't pursued a brick and mortar just yet. It's definitely something we're interested in. We're just kind of seeing how everything goes.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of what you do. I mean, cooking and smoking meat and all that kind of happens outdoor anyhow. And so you just kind of go like where the gig is.
Pretty much. And that's the nice thing with what we do is, I mean, anytime, at least in Canada, I mean, down here, I assume as much, but anytime you're actually doing a pig roast, it is a spectacle. So the nice thing is making it a spectacle, using a cooker that nobody's seen and cooking a style that not a lot of people have heard of up north. It just really reinforces what we're doing and what we're trying to showcase.
Right, right. So why did you pick North Carolina on these journeys?
I started a number of years ago. For my birthdays, I'd either go on a trip or cook for friends. And one year, I cooked an entire lamb over my fire pit in my backyard. And the next year, I was trying to figure out what to do differently. And I have a construction company as well, so I had a bunch of cinder blocks. And decided to, after some Googling, build a cinder block pit and cook a pig. And it turned out surprisingly really well. And the more I looked into it, I realized that was more of a North Carolina style cooking. And then I just went head into it and just did as much Googling as I could,
yeah,
got as many cookbooks as I could, came down here as many times as I have been able to, and just have tried to connect with as many pit people that I've been able to down here, just to further educate myself and make sure that what I'm doing up north is as authentic as I can possibly make it to what everybody's doing down here.
So tell me a little bit about that. Tell me about what you consider your technique to be authentic. What does that mean? What's your technique in barbecue?
So for me, what I'll do, it's hard for permitting and just, I mean, accessibility of wood up north as well. So I'll use natural wood charcoal, and that is my fuel source. But I'll take the pig, I'll break it down the spine, splay it open, salt, pepper. I'm Ukrainian heritage, so I'll put garlic powder on there too. Mm. And then I'll just cook it over the coals low and slow. Once it hits that 195-ish to where I'm happy,
yeah,
I'll pull it all. I bought myself initially two smaller sets last time I was down here of Dexter Russell cleavers, bumped up from the 6-inch to the 8-inch. And then
the cleavers, got it. Yeah to chop and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So then now with the bigger cleavers, it makes it so much easier. But I'll pull the meat, chop the meat, and then for the seasoning, it's just apple cider vinegar, salt, pepper, sugar, and chili flakes.
So that sounds just like what we do here in North Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I mean, for me, again, as learning about it, reading books by like John Shelton Reed, Ryan Fertel, there's just so many resources out there to educate people around the world about the style, about why it's important, the heritage of it, and the history of it. And for me, I love all of those things, and it's just really interesting. It's really different. I get asked a lot at home why, and honestly, it's just delicious. Like my first stop yesterday was at Sam Jones, got to see the pit rooms, got back in my car. It was one of the things that I loved the last time I was here, but you're just sitting in the car and you smell like the pit room. You smell like the smoke. There's nothing like it. Right. There's nothing like the smell of the juices, the fats, everything else dripping onto the coals, making that unique barbecue smell. Brisket's not like it. It's just, there's something, I love it. There's nothing. Anytime I do a cook at home, my trailer smells like it. I smell like it for a day. It's amazing.
I one of these times, then as we become new friends, I'm gonna have to take you to the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee and bring you to Alan Benton's for Benton's Bacon. That for me, we did a podcast, kind of like a secondary or an offshoot podcast. It was more of like a series with Candace Harriet Townsend. And it was like six part episode, and we went out there to Tennessee, did a lot of Sean Brock connection stuff, but we went to Benton's Bacon and we recorded the podcast in his smoke room, and so we're around hundreds of shoulders that have all been aged, and just the scent was the aroma was unique. There's nothing like it, and all my clothes permeated for months. I mean, like after washing them, still you could dig your nose into that sweater. You're like, oh yeah, that's still Benton's right there.
But you don't, like for me, I had a jean shirt I wore on my last trip. I took probably a month or
you're
so
Canadian.
To wash it.
You could have just said, sure, we'll do the math that was a jean shirt. We got it. It's the Canadian tuxedo. Yeah,
got it. I mean, I love that smell, and I'm super jealous of Benton's. Last time I was in Tennessee, I went to the Hammery and spent a bunch of time with Bob, who does a lot of country hams for Sean Brock. So we're actually, in December, we have planned with artisanal deli back at home to do a country ham project.
Oh, that's awesome. So, yeah, so you mentioned brisket, but that's not really your style, right? Like, that, are you doing other meats as well, or are you kind of focusing mainly on whole hog?
Well, I mainly focus on whole hog. We will do, for catering events upon request, brisket. We'll do ribs, chicken, the like. But, I mean, I get a lot of scratching heads, turned heads, scratching chins, wondering where the beef is. I mean, we're Alberta, so we're the more or less Texas of Canada. For somebody to specialize in pork rather than beef turns a lot of heads. Nobody really gets it, but then they eat it, and then they kind of start to learn and understand why.
Yeah.
And, I mean, everybody does brisket. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it by any means, but I prefer the pork. There's nothing like, I can't remember who I heard it from, but it was just a comment about the luxuriousness of taking every piece of an animal, mixing it together, chopping it up. You're not getting that from literally anything else. And I mean, shoulders, they're great too, but when you're doing whole hog barbecue, you're literally, there's nothing else in the food world where you're getting every part.
You could do an entire turkey or
I guess
coming up, you know, you get the white chicken, dark meat. But you tend to keep them separate, and even chopping them together doesn't necessarily make it quote unquote better. It's just you just put it all together.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree. You're saying that. This funny observation, and it's refreshing. I'm glad you're here to give me, and I'll just speak for me, but I do think I've had this conversation with a lot of other people in North Carolina about barbecue in the last year and a half, to give me a fresh respect and perspective of what North Carolina does and what we bring to the table. Because in this the narrative we've been having recently with a lot of pit people, smokers, is that there's this new dawning of barbecue in North Carolina, and it's like we all looked at it like, okay, I get it, that North Carolina does whole hog, pulled pork, that's what they got, but what's next? And you know, as a Californian, we're always like, what's the next thing, what, how can we do this? But I'll even legitimize, not even just a Californian, I just think that in the culinary world, that's what we're always looking for. And North Carolina has really rested its head on the tradition. And you know, Matt and I recently, we were in Lexington, and we could talk about that as far as style, because it's unique to even inside of North Carolina, it's a little different. But we asked them, like, would you guys do ribs, would you do brisket? And they're just like, what? They're like, no. And we, and also, would you sell beer at one of these places? They're like, no, this is, you know, this is the way grandma wanted it, we don't bring alcohol in here, and not that we don't drink it, we just don't sell it here. And so deeply rooted in tradition. And so I think if you live here and you're just kind of like, yeah, I want to try some brisket, like right now in North Carolina, in the Triangle, brisket is really popular, like with the new age guys. You know, you've got Lawrence Barbecue, which if you haven't gone, you must go.
Yeah.
Jake Wood is killing it out there. Our friends at Longleaf Swine Barbecue, they're not officially open yet. And they're much like yourself, doing like pop-ups and such until their brick and mortar is complete. And they're getting close, which is great. They'll be down here in Raleigh. And then even my friend Nick Dampf, who's from St. Louis via East Texas, now here, he's going to be at the Clayton Crafton that we're doing. And we're building this whole huge exterior smoker area. He's got Primitive Pits making this 2,000-gallon smoker, primarily to do brisket. And so it's almost like sacrilege, like we're like not embracing what North Carolina is most known for. And here, a guy from Edmonton, which, and I'll just show my ignorance, I was like, where's Edmonton? Is that, I don't know, is that east, west coast? I don't know. You said, it's what, over Montana?
North of Montana, Idaho. I mean, I just refer with, I mean, especially being down here with the Hurricanes, home of the Oilers.
Home of the Oilers. There you go. Yeah. North of Yellowstone, if you're watching Kevin Costner. Beautiful country out there. But it's so refreshing, and like, it's like, you know, it's like somebody complimenting your wife after being with her for 40 years, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's right, she is beautiful. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you get into your grind for a while, and you're like, oh, and then finally you realize that what you have here in your backyard is like kind of a big deal. And I think even for us, having so many podcasts about barbecue, we've even said, okay, well, we've told that story about whole hog, so let's do the next thing. And it's kind of nice to reset and bring it back. I choose to shake it up with Blue Shark Vodka because it's made with non-GMO heirloom variety North Carolina sweet corn, which is distilled four times into perfection. I mean, right there, you already had me. You got North Carolina, you got local farming, you got distilling, you got non-GMO. It's all the things that really you should be looking for when you're trying to source local and do things. And on top of it, it's delicious vodka that allows you to make any type of cocktail you want to have. For the folks at Blue Shark Vodka, the small batch process is a labor of love. After distilling the corn four times, the mash mellows for 28 days, allowing flavors to fully bloom and awaken. Finally, each batch is triple filtered, giving the vodka a smooth, clean finish and making the alcohol less bitey. It's Blue Shark Vodka, the shark that doesn't bite. Non-GMO, heirloom sweet corn. Go visit Blue Shark Vodka.
We talk to all types of entrepreneurs, restaurateurs on this podcast, and some of them are making innovative new tacos or salsas, and they're perfecting the classic brisket, but they are all working to turn that love of food into a business, and that's often the bigger challenge. Our newest sponsor is here to help. Spot On works with popular local restaurants like the Ruddy Duck Tavern and the Village Market in Eastern North Carolina, getting them set up with new technology they need to stay competitive in this industry. It's the kind of tech that the chain down the street is already using, but made specifically for you, such as a cloud-based point-of-sale system that not only takes orders and payments, but also ties in online ordering to takeout and delivery. Then it breaks down all the data so you can tweak your menu or set your staff schedule. From fine dining to food trucks, Spot On's integrated restaurant management system can help make running a restaurant less stressful and more successful. And you can get this end-to-end solution built specifically for your needs by a real person, Tanya Manuo. She's a local Spot On account executive, and she'll be your partner the whole step of the way. Give her a call, 858-213-7820. That's Tanya M at spoton.com. Joe Van Gogh coffee.
Yeah, you got to open yourself up. Like you're like having this Home for the Holidays 2021 blend, which is unbelievable. Matt, are you getting the cranberry, the hazelnut, the milk chocolate?
That's so funny. I was just going to say cranberry, hazelnut, notes of milk chocolate.
Were you really, Matt?
What? Of course.
So the origins of this coffee are a little bit of a blend. You've got Ethiopia and the Americas, kind of Central and South America. This particular blend is notable because Joe Van Gogh has been spreading good cheer with local Habitat for Humanity affiliates every holiday season since 2009. Every bag sold, they donate 50 cents among Habitat Humanities in Durham, Orange, and Wake counties. They're proud to continue their partnership with the community and hope to encourage you to help build this holiday season with your local Habitat for Humanity. So find your local Habitat for Humanity and catch up on their latest volunteering projects and events. Habitat for Humanity transforms lives and communities by helping families purchase safe, decent, and affordable homes. Happy holidays, yeah. Everybody.
For me, it's really interesting. I mean, that is unique. For me, one thing that I focus on with barbecue, even back at home, if I'm doing chicken or something besides a whole hog, is the regionality of barbecue. I think that's super important, whether it is Carolina pork, Alabama chicken, Texas brisket and lynx, or, I mean, even Kentucky mutton. When people say barbecue, they just kind of think barbecue, and the way that I've been explaining it back home, it's like Chinese food. When somebody says, oh, well, yeah, Chinese food, you're like, okay, well, is that Sichuan? Is that Cantonese? Is that Hunan? What province? There's specific regionality to food in every country, and focusing and highlighting that regionality is something that's really important because it helps carry on the legacy of what the Joneses are trying to do and what's happening at Snow's and what's happening in these iconic heritage places that have made a name for themselves because of how long they've been around, but also the quality of the food, the amount of work that's gone into it, and just trying to showcase and highlight as much as we can what these people have been doing for generations.
Yeah, and so I'll refer back to the email that we've had. as you were talking about your first trip, you talked about places that you went that were kind of like on your chart or whatever. Well, I mean, here, I've got it written down. This is great. You said the first time you were down, you went to Parker's and Skylight. Skylight, of course, Sam Jones' family out there in Aden, North Carolina. And last time you did the following, and I assume that you're saying that you ate here.
Yep.
So Allen & Sons, Stevenson's, Southern Smoke. By the way, Matt Register will be on the podcast in a couple weeks from Southern Smoke. Grady's, just talked about him. Sam Jones, Skylight Inn, Bee's, Burns, Stamey's, Buxton Hall, and you actually did a shift there. I'd love to hear about that. Tar Heel Q, Noble Smoke, Lexington Barbecue. You did all that on one trip.
Yeah, in about 7 days.
Speak to us about Buxton with Elliot Moss. What was that like?
Oh, fantastic. I reached out to Rich, who was working there. He was recently working at Sam Jones. Now he's down in Texas. Reached out to them. He connected me and did a shift there. And it was, I mean, the team that Elliot has put together there is amazing.
Yeah.
Him himself is amazing. It was funny because he came in and Nick, the kitchen manager, was just like, oh, this is our stage for the day. And Elliot was in his rhythm doing his thing. And Nick was like, tell him where you ate this week. And I went through that list that you just went through and you could see the switch turn where he's like, oh, okay, this isn't like this guy knows what he's talking about. And I mean, the one thing I love about, one thing I love about North Carolina in general, but especially there, is just the hospitality. I mean, everybody in the state, every time I come down here, is so ridiculously nice. It almost doesn't make sense. Like, coming from Canada, too, that's something where we're known for being nice.
Yeah.
But you come down to North Carolina, and everybody, you're at a gas station, somebody says hello, they nod their head, you're walking down the street. It is amazing, the niceness and level of hospitality of just people on the street to restaurants. And I mean, the quality and ingenuity of Elliot kind of taking this historic concept of whole hog and elevating it, doing the mussels and the beans underneath the pig and just doing subtle tweaks that really...
Wait, explain that. What is he doing?
He's been taking, at least when I was there, he was taking his mussels, which were just insane, as well as their beans, and they'll put them underneath the pig to get the pig drippings.
Get the drippings, yeah.
And it just, I mean, it brings a whole other flavor note to them that is just, I mean, those mussels, I still think about them. It was over 2 years ago. And the team there, I mean, so nice and learned so much. I mean, for them to even open their doors to somebody, it was great.
Yeah, North Carolina, often called South Canada many times. No one's ever called it that. So talk to us about your trip now. What do you have on the agenda? What have you done? What are you planning to do?
So this trip is 2 weeks. A little bit weird with Sundays and Thanksgiving. Kind of has a little bit of gaps here and there.
Canadian Thanksgiving is in October, right?
October, yeah.
So you're done with all that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to have it again.
Yeah.
It'll just be out somewhere, which is fine. So this time came in, went to Sam Jones yesterday, ate at Pools, which was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Some of the dishes there were, just amazing.
Yeah, she does it right.
Yeah. And then tomorrow, hitting up Skylight. Wednesday is Grady's and Wilbur's. Thursday is Thanksgiving, so things are closed. Friday will be Fuzzy's. And then doing a shadow shift or a stage at Stamey's on Saturday. Oh, and then probably popping out to Short Sugar's or Hersey's. Sundays will be whatever one I don't go. And then popping down to Lexington, doing Barbecue Center, Speedy's, Smiley's, Backcountry, Little Richards, and then...
Little Richards. That is an awesome place. Not a lot of people know about.
I'm excited for that one. I missed it last time.
My wife's done all their photography, and I get the benefit of she takes a lot of the food home after she's shot it, and... Oh.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
And then from there, Barbecue King, Red Bridges, then back up to Durham for Picnic, Prime, Lawrence, if I have time, just because I miss it every single time, Clyde Cooper's. And then amongst all that, Chef and the Farmer out in Kinston, Mama Dips, Salt Box, and a Tar Heels basketball game. So
wow. That sounds amazing. The whole time I'm thinking of this, I'm like, shoot, I'm going to be out of town during Thanksgiving. Otherwise, you'd had a place at our table. I would have definitely welcomed you there. Maybe we'll find you some friends that are out here that might want to give you a spot to hang out at. But that last part when you got into the triangle, all those guys. I mean, I want to release this episode soon, as to before maybe they'll hear this before you get there. They'll be like, oh yeah, that's that Canadian guy.
That's a weird guy.
He's got his denim suit on when I see him. But that's so awesome and ambitious, and I love it. Obviously, please, when you're in Lexington, let them know that we say hi. The guys from the podcast, they were all such pleasant and. Really just warm-hearted people that are like, hey man, come on in, relax, like you said, that hospitality. Now the part that I thought was interesting about Lexington was their technique is a little different in that it's not whole hog, it's just shoulder, and there's an absence of pepper in the seasoning,
an addition of tomato or ketchup,
right, but only in the sauce, which they call the dip.
Yeah,
there we go, thank you. But yeah, so just on the coals, they're slow and low like you would expect, but it's just salt. They just salt meat and then throw it on there, and they're typically roughly around 9 hours, they say, on cook for most of the time, and they're just cycling it throughout the day, and they're just, you know, shoveling coal from their firebox underneath everything else. And those poor guys, I'm watching the young, like, teenagers that are doing it. I'm just like, when did you get here? He's like, 5 a.m. And you'll work till when? 6 p.m. And you're just basically walking back and forth these 12 feet. He's like, yep, that's my job. Like, man. Like, how much water do you drink during this time? Because, and he was a skinny dude, by the way. You yourself, you're a tall drink of water and you're a skinny guy. For all of that barbecue that you went through, like, you would expect the guy to be like 450 pounds, but you're a lean dude. I guess it's because you only do it once or twice a year, maybe.
Yeah, those big trips are definitely like that. Lots of cycling back at home to try and keep it off. So, I mean, everything I lost this summer will definitely be put back on these 2 weeks, but it's worth it.
That's awesome. And you just go, are you with like friends, company, or are you just out on your own?
Just by myself. First time I came down here for Parker's and Skylight, my mom was with me for my birthday trip, and then otherwise it's just me, which I like. I mean, it gives me time to kind of sit with everything and stew with it. It allows me also to be obnoxiously hyper-focused and go place to place, finish eating, take pictures, talk to them. Last time with those 50 or 13 places, there's only one location that wasn't open to me seeing the pit room. And again, that just speaks to the North Carolina hospitality. Everybody just open door policy. It was amazing. So I think it would be hard. I mean, I don't have a business partner. I think it would be hard even for like a life partner, like a girlfriend, to ride along on something like this.
Because
I just
get an intense trip. Yeah,
it's very pointed and executed for what I'm trying to do. Whether it's hone in on the barbecue. Excuse me, the aesthetics of the restaurants or just even Southern cooking and hospitality. I just really am down here to be a sponge.
Yeah. Actually, even this morning, you went down to Carolina Packing Company, right? You went to Bright Leaf Hot Dogs. You brought me back a little gift bag of the Red Dogs, which thank you so much. Care to even mention like why you did that or what that was all about?
Again, just a sponge. Last time I was down here when I was at Southern Smoke talking to Matthew Register, sat down with him again, spent quite a few hours with him now, quite like online friends, personable with him. And I just kind of asked him, I was like, what are some important things in North Carolina and food culture that I should know about? And he said, Carolina Red Hots with mayonnaise, and Duke's mayonnaise, obviously. And yeah, I had it. It was great. And it's just, I mean, for me, furthering my knowledge of Southern food culture, but North Carolina food culture, I always go up home and it's funny because I'm like, oh yeah, okay, like Bright Leaf hot dogs, everybody's like a red hot dog, and you're like, yeah, or like Pepsi or Texas Pete. or so many other different local things to highlight. I mean, it's not even the barbecue any more in North Carolina that makes me passionate. I mean, if you go to Asheville and you have like Chai Penny, and I mean, Elliot opened his chicken shop, and then you go out to Wellington and you got the seafood stuff out there. I mean, there's Chef and the Farmer, everything Ashley Christensen's doing in Raleigh. It's amazing what's actually happening in the state. And I mean, even still last time I went up to the Appalachians and went on the Blue Ridge Parkway, and it was just outstandingly beautiful.
Dude, you need to be the new host of this show. Seriously.
Like I said, obsessive or passionate. It's just, once you start scratching the surface of what this state has to offer. I mean, I've been to South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, West states quite a bit, but there's just something about North Carolina that just feels like home to me.
That's awesome. I mean, it really is beautiful. By the way, have you checked out Matthew Register's book?
Yeah.
Southern Smoke?
Yeah, I brought it down last time and I got him to sign it.
I'll have my wife also sign it. She shot the whole book.
Oh, wow.
She took all the pictures. But and it's so beautiful. He is like salt of the earth type of guy. And that was even in one of our more recent episodes with Brandon Shepard. He mentioned how Matt is like, he's just a good guy in the community. Like, he wants to foster this type of mentality. Like, hey, you have interest in this? Well, then let me guide you. And that's not always the case in a lot of other cultures and a lot of other culinary endeavors. It's like, this is a secret. Like, I'm not going to teach you. I don't want that guy to, you know. And it just seems like it's such a like a low confidence way of living when you live that way. I like the fact that most of the time, most people in this community of North Carolina, especially in the barbecue community, are like, I'll tell you everything. Good fucking luck trying to get it exactly the way that I do it. But here you go. And I like that. It's like, yeah, I'll tell you all my little techniques. I mean, Jake Wood, he was doing the pop-up at Y Hill Brewing where I was working. And on Monday and Tuesday when we were closed, we would ask Lawrence Barbecue to come in before his brick and mortar was open. And if Jake was in this room, he'd be nodding his head up and down when I said, all I did is ask him like every technique and everything. I'm like watching him. Like, one of the things I loved, it was such a subtle thing, but as he's making his like salt and pepper mix, like it's just his cure or whatever to put on top of the meat. And I think he just did salt and pepper. You think he even said, he's like, you could put garlic powder in there. You could do onion powder if you want. I just do salt and pepper. But while he was salting his meat, he's like got his mixture, his seasoning in a little quart container. And as he's doing it, he's like swirling it almost like you swirl wine in a glass. I'm like, what's that about? He's like, oh, because the granules are different. The pepper's bigger than the salt. And so you got to keep it mixing so that when you grab a pinch, you're grabbing all of it, or else all the salt will go to the bottom and the pepper will be on the top and it'll be uneven. I'm like, even just hearing that little technique, I'm like, that's so cool that's like a thing you picked up as time went on. So I love this stuff. Ever since my wife got me that Commodo Joe, I'm like such the amateur dude doing it at home. But in the end, it's still heat and smoke and you're putting it together. Oddly enough, most of the videos that come out of Commodo Joe's like how-to videos are all from Canada.
Huh.
Which I find to be, and I don't even think they're a Canadian company. Or maybe they are. I don't know.
I don't even know.
But let's talk about Canada. You said a little bit before we got on the mics, like, don't even ask me about Canadian barbecue.
Not
I don't mean for you to be an expatriate to your own country. They might not let you back. But explain to me or tell me about what does barbecue look like in the Edmonton area and just around the country.
It's quite different. I mean, it's we don't have the history. We don't have the culture of it up north. I mean, again, legacy names, Jones, Scott, the huge legacy names for a reason. I mean, the baton has been passed from generation Stamies, generation to generation. We don't have that at home. So we're trying to build that. And Canadian barbecue, for the most part, is known for Canadian competition barbecue. So our restaurant barbecue is versions of that, with hints of regionality here and there. And there's guys in Toronto and Vancouver, Calgary, which is south of Edmonton, doing really good jobs of restaurant barbecue. It's just, again, it's different because you come down here and, like you were saying earlier, it is shoulders or whole hog, and it's only been within the last number of years that you have Prime or Lawrence or Noble Smoke bringing in the other influences from the other states.
Yeah.
And we're figuring it out. And there's a lot of people. I mean, again, we just don't have the access to even the cooking equipment, for that matter, of either like BQ grills or Mill Scale or Primal. I mean, the guys at BQ have been great, but one of the main reasons that I ended up fabricating my own cooker is the freight and duty was as much, if not more, than the cooker itself.
So let's talk about that. You brought me a shirt that I'll have to snap a picture and put on our Instagram so people can see. But the back of the shirt was like your CAD design for the smoker you made. So for one, you mentioned earlier you do some construction, so you know how to do this stuff. Like, you understand how to work in CAD, I guess. And
for that one, I did like very rudimentary drawings, and then I sent them to the steel shop that I work with on the construction side of things. And luckily, they're friends, and it was a lot of Zoom back and forth over COVID to hone it in and bring the weight down. Again, something like this is not really seen back at home.
Yeah, so like if I'm looking at this, the design, it's like kind of like a coffin case, if you will.
But that's more, what it gets called a lot.
Yeah, it's square. It looks like, so you've got a grate and then a chamber below that looks like it opens up to the panel. So is that right? Like, do you feed with a shovel? Do you feed coals into the side?
Yep. Yeah. So aesthetically, conceptually, was inspired by what they're doing at BQ Grills, dimensions and everything else. I married that aesthetic design with the dimensions from my cinder block pit. And I mean,
this is direct heat. This is an indirect heat.
It depends, because the cooker itself is four feet by 5 feet. And then I have two side flaps with a grease/coal tray. So I can actually pull that out. And I can put the coals either on the sides or underneath the shoulders, or depending on, again, what I'm cooking. I mean, I've gotten three smaller pigs on there. One time I had 9 shoulders, 275 chicken wings, 3 briskets, and 2 beef ribs, and there's still a little bit of room. So, I mean, it's all where you're moving the coals and the heat. But, I mean, it went initial drawings and weight was 1,200 pounds. Now it's around 7. And for the first close to year, I was lifting the lid without assisted openers because I hadn't figured that part out in the sake of design. So I was like deadlifting a 168-pound lid multiple times, which is a point of pride because it's like moving the 60 cinder blocks when I was doing that before, where you're like, this is insane. But also, I there's something about it that I love,
like
about
the process and just the
every single time, moving it, setting it up, building it. There's something in that entire process that I really like. But after being a little bit busier with the project last winter, I ended up having to put the assisted openers on because after doing a number of pigs through last December, my back was shot by Christmas that I just had to.
So it's funny. So we're recording on a Monday. This is hence why like Matt's not here and all, and you know, we're just kind of chilling out. Everything's closed on Mondays here in downtown Raleigh, which is insane.
And almost Sundays.
Yeah. You got to take a break, especially that's pretty common too in the barbecue game. I mean, a lot of times, and that's not even just North Carolina. That's like across the board, like Texas, everybody, like they go crazy, you know, Wednesday or Thursday to Saturday, and then that's it. It's like, we've done the week's worth of meat, and we're just going to chill on Sunday, Monday, maybe even Tuesday. So hilarious that you brought me the Brightleaf hot dogs, because I had in my head, former guest of the show, Jared Burton, who owns J-Lights in Durham, is getting set to, he's building out his second location, folks. Ooh, that'll be coming, announced soon. But anyhow, he's like, hey, let's go grab some lunch today. And I said, well, I'm meeting with this Canadian guy, Peter, but maybe we can all go out together and figure out a place to eat. So we came up with the idea, we're going to go to the Cardinal and get these awesome hot dogs, because there might not be a lot of barbecue around, but these dogs are legit and totally worth your time.
Oh, I'm excited.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. For those that want to see and follow like what you're doing, what's your Instagrams? People can check it out.
The Instagram's Pitt County Barbecue. Our website's pittcountybarbecue.com. The name Pitt County Barbecue comes from the sake that I wanted to pay respect. I mean, it's nice when you have somewhere, in my opinion at least, like Skylight, where you hear so much about them as the gold standard. They're the goat per se.
Yeah.
And then you go and you're like, oh yeah, like
you get it.
Every single time I've been there, I make a point to specifically go there and grad use every single time for those reasons. But that, I mean, again, the history and the culture and the Jones family and in that county for Whole Hog Barbecue is so important for what it is as an industry that I just, a lot of what I want to do up north is educate. So then when people go, what is Pitt County? I can tell them, okay, well, it's this county in the state that focuses on this with this history, with this legacy. We even do, even though we do the Eastern Carolina Whole Hog, we do the Piedmont style red slaw. And again, up north, everybody's like, a red coleslaw, what is this?
Yeah.
And again, just like the meat without any sauce, just try it. Mm-hmm. And as soon as people do, they're hooked. So
that's super cool, man. All right, well, check out at Pitt County Barbecue, and let's go get some food, as Matt would say if he was here. But check that out. Get some burger, get some barbecue, and you will eat and drink merrily. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the NCF&B podcast. And if you've stuck with us this long, review us on iTunes, and remember, 5 stars are encouraged. Proof Alcohol Ice Cream. We pour art and science into every bite. An artisan ice cream company from Columbia, South Carolina. Proof is changing the way people think about dessert. Triangle Wine Company. Locally owned and operated. Triangle Wine Company is committed to creating the best shopping experience in fine wine and craft beer.